Anytime I see a new feature rolled out by eBay, I like to be one of the first ones to try it because in 99% of the cases, it's a feature that's actually going to be really, really helpful. Or Promoted Listings Advanced. When I first saw it, I was a little skeptical. I looked at it and I thought, I don't know about this. This is a lot like Google Ads. And then Jacob from the eBay Ads team, he actually just gave me a quick demo and it suddenly clicked. I was like, oh, I can go in and promote just very specific items to the top and I can optimize those specific items that could actually save money and help us get more sales.
I'm Rebecca.
I'm Griff, and this is the eBay for Business podcast, your weekly source for the information and the inspiration to start, run, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 169, and you'll never guess who's in the studio on campus with me.
Who could it be?
It could be you, Rebecca. Thanks.
It is me. It is me, and it's so exciting to be on campus here in the studio recording with you instead of doing it at home. Over the computer. It's just a totally different experience, and I'm really excited about this episode.
Yeah, and I think this will convince you to come into the campus studio once every other week to record, right?
Absolutely. You know, I feel really grateful to be here. It's so nice to be on campus, and it's so nice to see your smiling face, Griff.
It's nice to see yours and our smiling faces later. If you want a little inside scoop, the reason why we're all here isn't just to record, but Brian and Rebecca and I think Andrea as well, we're here to have headshots taken, our photos for the official eBay, wherever our photos show up.
I know, which is always a very awkward experience, but
isn't it?
It is, yeah. You know, like, and
oh, I know.
Anyway, but you know, apparently they want me to have a picture occasionally on the website or where have you. So
you're on the website a lot these days, so it's nice to have the best possible picture. Although the one they have right now is pretty damn glamorous. I mean, let's admit it.
It is full of lies. It's like 8 years old and highly photoshopped.
I'm not going to tell you my secret. I think mine is over 12 years old now. So I feel like Dear Abby for years.
Yes.
On the newspaper, she had this like young photo and she was like 96 and falling apart.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I'm very glad you're here. And as always, we're going to rely on you for our news. What's in the eBay news this week, Rebecca?
First in the news, the eBay news this week, the clock is running out to ship gifts or cards for the holidays. So the cutoff date for retail ground service packages is December 15th. And if you're listening to the podcast, the day that it releases, that unfortunately was yesterday.
Yikes.
Oops.
Oops is right.
But it's not too late. There's some other important dates. For first class mail, including cards, you have until December 17th. Priority mail needs to be sent by December 18th. And if you're sending gifts overseas, unfortunately, the international deadline was last Thursday.
Right.
Again, if you're listening to this, the day that the podcast releases. Robert Rode with the USPS customer relations team says this week, the week of December 14th, that is categorically always our busiest week.
So I see USPS is projected this year to ship 2.3 billion pieces of mail in 1 week this week.
That is a lot of mail.
Heck, it's mind-boggling.
eBay has a complete list of all carrier holiday cutoff dates in Seller Center under the Shipping Center. Just go to Seller Center at ebay.com/seller-center and then scroll down to the section for Know Your Holiday Carrier Cutoffs and click on the link.
Yeah, it's a good tip. And they're all there. It's a PDF. You can download and print it so you have it in front of you. And it covers both USPS, UPS, and FedEx.
All right, moving on to the next thing. There is some really cool news on the eBay product front. This is like eBay in the 21st century.
Yeah, finally.
Right? So we've launched a new feature that provides buyers 360-degree views of items, and it's called 3D True View. Have you played with it? It's so cool.
I went to see it, and I did. I played with it, and it's like what I've seen on other places where you can move your mouse and turn the item all the way around. That's kind of revolutionary for eBay. We've never had that.
It really is. It's actually the first of its kind, AI technology.
Oh, AI is involved.
Yes.
Well, there you go.
And it's for the resale market, and buyers can view, in this case, sneakers from any angle, top, bottom, 360 degrees, side to side. It's kind of like holding the shoe in your hands.
Yeah.
Like when I played with it, I flipped it upside down and I could see every detail on the sole of the sneaker.
It is pretty cool, yeah.
And the great thing about it is being able to have that interactive experience with eBay 3D True View. It enhances buyer trust and confidence by giving them a better way to evaluate these high-value pre-owned sneakers before they make their purchase decision.
Yeah, you want it's like you're holding it in your hand.
Yeah, it was really cool. It really means that buyers can closely examine every square inch of the item, even the slightest little flaws, so that they know exactly what they're getting.
So it's so exciting, but I've got to get you to cool your jets because currently it's only available in the sneakers category.
Yep. And it's only available right now to a handful of sellers. Oh. But we do plan to, expand the availability of 3D True View to more sellers and additional categories over the coming months. In fact, I saw there's a link to sign up to get on the wait list.
Yes.
And we will also put that link in the transcript for episode 169.
I love wait lists. I live.
You live for wait lists.
Yes, I live for wait lists. That's all I want to do is wait in line. So sign up on our eBay 3D True View wait list page, and we'll let you know as soon as you're eligible to participate. And of course, that link, as Rebecca just said, episode transcript for 169.
Yep, it'll be there. And finally, in the news this week, we want to share an update about a change to federal tax reporting legislation that's going to impact people who sell on any marketplace online, including eBay.
Okay.
So if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, I think we talked about this a number of episodes ago.
Yes, we did. Yeah.
But sellers, you're going to hear us talk about it a lot because we want to make sure that everyone hears about these changes and understands when it impacts them and their business.
Yeah.
So here's what's changed. As of January 2022, next month, the IRS will now require payment processors like credit card companies and eBay to report all annual online sales over $600 using Form 1099-K. This requirement, and yes, I'm reading, so I get it right. This requirement previously only applied to sellers with at least 200 transactions and over $20,000 in sales each year. So everyone listening, this change is going to impact your 2022 sales and your 2023 tax filing. So the taxes that you have to file by mid-April 2023. It does not apply to your 2021 sales, the taxes that you're probably working on right now. Basically, what you need to know is that the current rules that you've been operating on continue to exist for the year that we're in now, 2021, and the taxes that you're going to pay in a few months from now. And then starting in January, that's when you have to start getting ready for the changes that come in a year from now. Does that make sense?
It does, except you don't really have to do anything to get ready. It's just a reporting thing. And of course, you can read more about the change in the seller news announcement at ebay.com/announcement. And yeah, I also advise people to visit the IRS website. There you have a page and an FAQ specific to 1099-Ks. And we're going to put the links to both of those in episode transcript 169.
And the other thing that I would say is neither Griff nor I are tax professionals. We're eBay professionals. So if you
just barely
speak for yourself. If you out there are listening to this and you have questions about your tax liabilities or your reporting responsibilities, please contact a local tax attorney, a CPA, contact someone yourself to help you work through what you have to do and what you don't have to do with this change.
Yeah, and if you're selling with any regularity on eBay, you should have a bare minimum assistance contract or agreement with somebody who's a tax expert. It's not only that you meet your responsibilities, but a tax expert can help save you money on how you're reporting and taking expenses. You may be missing something. When we have Barbara Weltman on a couple times a year, she points this out. A lot of sellers on eBay, they don't take full advantage of what's available to them in the way of business deductions. So it's important to have that expertise.
I mean, speaking of expertise, there are experts at selling on eBay. Hire someone who is an expert in taxes if your business allows.
And remember, if the money you pay to hire someone is tax deductible from your income tax.
Right.
Although I think it is. Let's just say I find that that's how what I've been told, but I'm not a tax expert. So don't take my word for it. Go to a real expert.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks, Rebecca. Hey, we're going to see you again in a bit for our very popular You Got Questions segment. But first, it's our seller guest segment for this episode. Last month, we were really lucky, really fortunate to have Julie Klein come on and tell us about Promoted Listings Standard, which is how that's been rebranded. A lot of our sellers in this audience, their experience with Promoted Listings Standard, it's really easy to use and it's really cost effective. You don't pay unless you sell something. But also about a month ago or so, we introduced a new feature called promoted listings advanced, and it's still kind of in beta, but I wanted to explain to our sellers that are listening how this works and why it may be worth testing. It may not be for everyone, but it's definitely a very interesting program. And I was going to have Julie come back, and she said, well, why have me? Why don't you have an actual seller who's selling on eBay who is in the beta program for Promoted Listings Advanced? What a great idea. So join me in welcoming our seller, Jeffrey Radspinner. Hi, Jeffrey.
Hey, Griff. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. Tell us a little bit about your business, Venture Surplus.
Venture Surplus is an online military surplus store. It takes your standard old school military surplus and moves it online in a more clean and organized way. So we have all of the uniforms and gear that soldiers need when they're deployed in the field. We just make sure that our armed forces always have the gear so that they're ready to go.
How long have you been doing this?
I have been doing this for about 7 years.
On eBay or were you doing this before and then came on eBay?
Oh, no. I've been doing this on eBay the whole time. I think I've been selling on eBay for 11 years now. I've been doing Venture Surplus on eBay, so it's just specifically military surplus for about 7 years now.
What got you interested in military surplus?
I actually worked for another guy that did a little bit of military surplus, but he liked to sell a whole lot of everything, and he was really, really good at it. But military surplus, I just thought was really interesting. There's the coolest gear. They just get issued all kinds of cool backpacks and jackets and all kinds of stuff.
Is your current market just people that are in the military, or do you find civilians like what you sell as well?
We have a lot of civilians that like to buy this stuff because it's just good quality gear at a fraction of the cost of like your civilian equivalent. These parkas that we just got, they're called N3B parkas. And to find something equivalent like that on the civilian market, those things are $300, $400, even $600 a piece. We've got them up for, I think, $135 right now, which is awesome to be able to have really high quality gear like that, that we can get to civilians, veterans, and our soldiers.
Your store on eBay is named Venture Surplus. I will put the link to Jeffrey's store in the transcript for episode 169, so you can find it quickly. When you started selling military surplus, did you do any research beforehand to understand the existing market, for example, your competitors and pricing?
Not exactly. It was more of a just bought stuff that I had seen this guy that I had worked for. I had seen him sell that already. And so it was kind of, I knew what kind of stuff was probably going to sell. And I started off with just that kind of gear. And from there, just kind of moved into other things and experimented with other types of military surplus, moved a little bit more into clothing, a little bit more into things like pouches and vests that they need and just all kinds of stuff.
We never ask a seller to divulge their sourcing secrets, so we'll avoid that question like the plague. But I do want to get an idea of just how big your business is right now. Can you give us some example of how big your business is on eBay?
Right now, we have about 500 SKUs, parent SKUs, listed on eBay. That doesn't count variations in sizes. I mean, that's a lot of products. It's taken us a long time to build up the inventory and have just a regular supply of all of this stuff.
How big is your operations?
I have a total of 6 people working here. I've got 3 people that all they do is just manage the inventory and receive all of the inventory as it comes in.
And that's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. Handling used gear, there's just a lot that goes into inspecting it and making sure that it's exactly as described for our buyers.
Does any of the inventory that comes in after it's inspected not pass your inspection? And if so, what happens to it?
We like to do this thing where we call them in different conditions. We saw a lot of other sellers calling them like new, like new, very good, fair, stuff like that. And I thought it was a little complicated. We made it a little simpler. You've got new, which is new means new. There's your used gear, which means that it's just going to be really, really good condition. A lot of times it's brand new, but we'll see something little on it and we're like, oh, that's not new anymore. So used is usually pretty good. And then we have one more. We call it defect condition, which just means that it's probably going to have a little hole or a stain or something like that. It's just a little bit beyond what we normally like to do. And so we'll take our defect conditions and sell those at a super discount.
That would be the market I would be interested in.
It's a good deal.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't mind like stitching a little hole or washing the shirt before you use it, I mean, you've got yourself a really good deal there.
The reason why I asked about research is that I know that from our conversations with Julie that you were one of the early adopters of Promoted Listing Advance. And I wanted to talk a little bit about what that experience has been like for you. What motivated you to try it?
Anytime I see a new feature rolled out by eBay, I like to be one of the first ones to try it because in 99% of the cases, it's a feature that's actually going to be really, really helpful. And first adopters are usually the ones that get the most benefits out of it, especially before anyone else has hopped on board because it's just so much cheaper to use. For example, just the standard promoted listings, we started using that immediately. And when we first started using it, we were the only ones promoting in our category for probably the first month. And then we started having a few more people pick up on it. For promoted listings advanced, when I first saw it, I was a little skeptical. I looked at it and I thought, I don't know about this. This is a lot like Google Ads. There's a lot more work that goes into it and I don't want to do it like that. And then I had Jacob from the eBay Ads team. He actually just gave me a quick demo. I think we spent maybe 5 minutes going over it and it suddenly clicked. I was like, oh, I can go in and promote just very specific items to the top and I can optimize those specific items that could actually save money and help us get more sales, especially since it's so new and there's not a whole lot of people using this yet. Just immediately hopped on that and figured out how to do it. I mean, Jacob gave me a 5-minute presentation and I spent another 20 minutes reading on it and experimenting with it before I had it down. In the name, it says advanced. So it's, yes, a little more advanced, takes about 10 more minutes to learn it than the standard.
Also, when it says advanced, it means it's actually got lots of features.
Oh, yeah.
That provide you some control over how a campaign is going to work. What's probably your favorite feature of Promoted Listing Advance?
I think my favorite feature is the ability to download all of the keywords and see what kind of hits I'm getting on that, because that's something that hasn't really been available on eBay before now, and I love seeing what people are searching to find our products.
Do you use that data from that particular download to make alterations, changes, or edits to a particular campaign?
The campaign as well as the listings too. If we see that someone's searching a specific keyword that we just left out of our titles, then we'll go in and just fix that up. It's good in two places there.
Have you found that by adding a keyword, you suddenly start to get sales?
Absolutely. There are times that we list an item and I know it's an awesome item. It just, for some reason, won't sell. And so when that happens, we'll usually go in every 14 days or so and just tweak it. We'll check and make sure it's in the proper category. We'll look at our description. Did we put something weird in there that's just deterring buyers? And then we'll start messing with the keywords up top and just keep tweaking it every 2 weeks until we get it moving.
I know there's a lot of great information in Ads Academy about this. Have you used that documentation as well?
I used that a whole bunch. I really like that all of that stuff was in there. A lot of it I already knew, but going back and brushing up on it is always helpful. And then the Ads Academy, I just discovered that actually just a few days ago, and I have been going in there and just taking a look at it, and it's got a lot of helpful resources.
There's a budgeting feature to Promoted Listing Standard, and there's also one for Promoted Listing Advance. Can you explain to our audience how that works?
The budgeting feature on there, you basically tell it, I'm willing to pay up to this much, for example, 20 cents, if someone clicks on it. But on top of that, you can tell it, okay, so I don't want to pay more than $2 in a day. I will take up to 10 clicks at 20 cents a piece. That way, I can test it out without breaking the bank. I like to go in and just give them little $10 budgets just to test them out, and I'll usually give them $10 a day budgets. It very rarely actually hits that just because of the category we're in. We don't get that many hits and clicks on it. But after running that for a week or two, I've got a pretty good amount of data from there, and I didn't have to break the bank to get that data.
Yeah, that's not a lot of money to have to spend to do that.
No.
Do you test everything?
I test just about everything. I don't think there's a single campaign on Promoted Listings Advance that I haven't tweaked at some point, because I like to go in there and just once a month look at all of the keyword data and see what's not working. I mean, to an extent, all of these are a test and they continue to be a test until they're optimized, and they're only optimized for so long before you got to do a little bit more on them. But you can do that once a month, once a quarter, whatever you have time for.
We always are interested in what a seller thinks about a tool. Not just to hear what's working, which is great. We love to hear what's working. We like to hear what you would like to see added or changed about a particular feature. We'd love to ask sellers that. Is there any feedback that you've provided or would like to provide that team when it comes to the Promoted Listing Advanced beta?
Oh, man. I did before this last update. And this last update brought in all of these keyword reports, negative keywords, and all of these features that I thought I was lacking. And at this point, I don't know what else to add to it. That was the greatest update because they rolled out several new features and it was everything I had been wanting to see in there.
you know, I work for eBay, obviously, and I'm very proud of that connection. But I'm especially proud of our product team that's reacting so quickly to seller feedback when it comes to making a tool better. I wanted to talk through a campaign specifically, if you don't mind, to explain how that works for a seller who may not be familiar with the tool itself. Let's start from the beginning. You're starting a campaign. What's the first step?
The first thing I do is I pick out 1 to 10 items that I want to advertise. I usually like them to be very similar items because I don't want to go in there and say, this campaign is going to cover pants, jackets, and backpacks because it's a little too broad. And I want to be able to go back and measure the effectiveness of that campaign. So usually I'll pick very similar items or items that are just in different conditions. In the collectibles category, everything has to be listed separately. If it's new, it's one listing. If it's used, it's another listing. And so I'll usually pick out my new and used and put them in the same campaign. For example, one of the campaigns that I did, it was gloves. I just wanted to get my gloves out there. So I picked out all of the same brand of gloves, which were the Blackhawk gloves. And I put it all together and went in there and started looking at the keywords that I wanted to use. When you get in there, there's all kinds of keywords that are just automatically suggested by eBay. And at first, these weren't very good. So you really had to be really careful about it.
What do you mean they weren't very good?
The keywords were so broad. I mean, I'm in there trying to sell these cold weather gloves, and it's trying to tell me things like cycling gloves are going to be good for this, or just gloves in general. And gloves is a little bit too broad for that. I want to go with something like cold weather gloves or leather gloves. And I want to get just a little bit more specific than something like gloves, because that's got 28,000 monthly searches. And I don't want 28,000 people seeing something that's not entirely relevant to them.
So it could cost you money in a campaign.
Right. I usually just start by looking at the suggested keywords, and I'll just uncheck the box at the top so none of them are checked. And I'll just scroll through it and look at all of them, at which point I like to go ahead and add them. And then I'll go in and add some customized keywords, things that I would search if I was looking for this, which doesn't necessarily mean that anyone else is going to search, but I just like them to be in there. Plus, I can collect the data on them and see if they are relevant. After that, and you just go down there and you tell it, I want to bid 10 cents per click on this. So every time someone clicks on this, I will pay 10 cents. At that point, I think I usually activate it. I'll give the campaign a title. And in the title, I usually give it the date that I created it, because I like to see when it was created, when the last time I modified it was. And then when I go in there a month later and look at the performance, if I decide I want to change it, I'll update the date again. So I know last time I updated this was then. So I don't want to be tweaking it a week from now. I want to make sure that I've got a good amount of search data. After that first month that it's been there, I'll go in, take a look at the performance. If I'm seeing a lot of clicks, but not a lot of sales, then I'll go and download the keyword report to see how many hits am I getting on these keywords and how many people are clicking and which ones are actually converting. I like to see a lot of data on there before I start taking keywords out. A month to 3 months is probably a good time before you start editing your campaigns.
Wow, I wouldn't have thought that long.
Yeah, you want a lot of data. And the reason I say this is I used to do Google Ads. And for Google Ads, a lot of times you let it run on either a really large budget for about a month, or you have a smaller budget and you let it run for 3 months before you go in there and even try to mess with it. And this is very similar in that aspect, a lot simpler, but similar. And from there, you can take the keywords like, oh, no one searching this is ever going to buy. Let's just say they're looking for leather gloves and these are military gloves. No one searching leather gloves is going to be looking for the military gloves. So we want to just make it a negative keyword and say, if anyone searches that, do not show my listing in there.
That was going to be my next question, because I think a lot of people are confused. What is a negative keyword?
Okay, so a negative keyword is a word that you just don't want your listing to show up for. For example, like leather gloves, if you don't want your listing to be advertised when someone searches leather gloves, you're going to go to your negative keywords and you're going to add leather gloves in there and just tell it, don't show my listing there.
That's very interesting. It's starting to occur to me, and I should have picked up on this earlier, that of course this is a way of advertising and promoting listings. This is a great data collection tool.
Absolutely.
And how do you store all this data? Is it stored for you in PLA, or do you have to like download it and store it yourself on your computer?
So far, it looks like everything is just stored in PLA. You can download a lifetime report of that campaign. So that's got all of your data for the entire campaign. or you can tell it just download 30 days. At this point, I don't really see any reason to actually save your research unless you're going to be doing something with that spreadsheet that it's giving you. Otherwise, you can just let it stay in PLA.
We talked about the fact that you're bidding. That's part of the process. You're putting in a bid. I think a lot of people may be familiar with it, but I just want to go over that quickly for sellers who may not be aware that when you're budgeting and setting up a campaign, you can pick how much you're going to bid for every time someone clicks on your listing appearing.
When you bid, you're saying, I will pay up to 20 cents for my listing to appear here and someone to click on it.
Right.
That doesn't necessarily mean that you're paying 20 cents for someone to click on it. If nobody else is bidding for that same keyword, then you're probably going to have your listing show up for 2 cents for a click.
Which
is just crazy cheap. Imagine getting 100 clicks for 2 cents, and out of those 100 clicks, three people buy. That's really, really good deal.
That's a good point to make. It's just because you're bidding a certain amount for a keyword placement, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to pay that.
Right.
So that's the idea of the budget. You know that you've budgeted that amount of money. You could end up paying your budget, but more likely, you're probably going to pay less.
It's actually rare that I hit my full bid. A lot of times I'll go in and I'll start my bids at just 10 cents a keyword. There's suggested bids in there. It tells you, hey, if you want to get clicks, you might want to bid 27 cents a piece on that particular keyword. A lot of times I'll start it at 10 cents and just see what I get, because I don't want to go crazy with it if it's not going to be one that works. 10 cents, and then you go in there, edit it, maybe raise it to 20 cents if you find that it's actually worth it and you want to make sure that you're getting your listing shown in there rather than someone else that's bidding on that same keyword.
Do you look to see where some of your campaign listings are appearing?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I am constantly doing searches on eBay for listings like mine. I like to see who else is selling them. I like to see where I'm at in the search results, and I like to see just how it looks in the search results.
What have you learned from this?
I learn a lot about our competitors, and I see a lot of people out there just using weird keywords or using just odd things in their titles and things that I don't want to use. But then I also see people out there that have really, really good keywords and really good listings, and I just want to go and do something similar to them.
And you can, right? You can adopt their practices. There's nothing stopping you from editing a campaign and adding, subtracting keywords.
Absolutely.
This is really great insight. I have to confess that I'm learning a lot too. Is Promoted Listing Advance going to be something that every seller should test, or are there certain types of categories of items where it might not work?
I would say it's not for every seller. If you're selling one-of-a-kind items, unless that one-of-a-kind item is worth a whole lot to you and you're selling it for, to me, it'd have to be worth several hundred dollars, and I was going to make several hundred dollars by selling it for me to go in and make a campaign for one specific item. I think it's better for things that you have several of, or a whole lot of, and you can just keep restocking it, because then you've got a campaign that's just going to run forever and you do the work one time, done. Whereas single listing, you're going to do all that work and you're going to have to do all that work again for your next listing.
And that's a great differentiator, so that if you're a seller deciding which program should I use, whether that's Promoted Listing Standard or Advanced, one of a kind, not high value items are probably, in my experience from using it, going to work well for you. But if you have multi-SKU, you have lots of quantity available currently, and it's something that you can restock, this is a way of grabbing market share and holding on to it. That's the important thing here, because campaigns can be altered and changed and adapted dynamically as they're running. And as you see, they need to be fit. This is what I'm taking away from our talk together. I hope I got that right.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I think for all of the sellers out there just selling individual or one-of-a-kind items, I think the Promoted Listing Standard is the way to go.
So I hope this has been good news to a lot of our sellers who listen, who sell, besides one-of-a-kind items, they sell SKU items. This could be a great way to compete. We're heading into the new year, and I think we can expect a lot of updates to keep coming to the program. Do you have anything else you can tell our sellers about what's worked for you or that sellers should keep in mind?
I think just experimenting and then checking on your campaigns once they're created. This is not a one and done deal. You definitely want to take a look, because as more sellers get on board with this, it's going to get a little more competitive as you're bidding. If there's 100 people bidding on that same keyword, it's going to go to the highest bidder every time. So you want to make sure, if you want that visibility as it gets more competitive, you've got a good bid in there.
And that's kind of similar to how Promoted Listing Standard works. It's not something that you just want to set it and forget it. You do want to go in and see, do I need to adjust my rate up or down over time? You can't just let it sit there or it won't work for you. I want to remind our sellers that you can find this by going up to your advertising dashboard in Seller Hub. Just go to Seller Hub. There is an advertising dashboard from the marketing tab. And then click on Create New Campaign, and you'll see the advanced option on the right. Give it a test. If you think your merchandise is going to work well or has the possibility or the potential to benefit from using Promoted Listings Advanced, remember, you don't have to commit everything in the world. You can start a small test and see if it works. And if you do, I want to hear from you. I want to hear how the campaign works, better or not so good. It's fun. I just want to get the stories. Jeffrey, I'm glad it's working for you.
I really like it. I'm really glad that was a feature that was rolled out.
Can we have you back on the show to talk about this in about 6 months?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be happy to.
Fantastic. Jeffrey, thanks again, and best of luck in the new year, 2022.
Thanks, Griff.
Jeffrey Radspinner has a store on eBay called Venture Surplus. We'll put the link in the transcript for episode 169. Do check it out, and please go to the advertising dashboard link in Seller Hub under Marketing tab and then create a new campaign. Explore it and see if it will work for you.
You've got questions.
We've got answers. Well, at least I hope Rebecca does. Rebecca, would you do the honors for our first question?
I sure will. eBay seller Jason emailed podcast@ebay.com with the following. Hey, Griff. Question. I am a part-time seller on eBay. I have recently set up a line of inventory that one of my employers wants me to help them sell on eBay. However, they will be shipping this inventory from a different address than I ship from. I'm not drop shipping. This is actual inventory sitting in a warehouse, just in a different state.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah. He goes on to say, tons of merchandise at my disposal. Is there a way to set up two different ship from addresses, or should I set up a second eBay account? Look forward to your answer. I always talk about topics from your podcast on my Reseller Live on YouTube Saturday mornings.
Great.
It's on a channel called Bluegrass Picker for now. Eventually, it will be on a channel called A Show About Nothing.
Is it Seinfeld?
No. Thanks in advance from Jason Gardner.
Hi, Jason. I can imagine, I guess, that you're into bluegrass music. But if not, A Show About Nothing works too. Good news. You don't have to open a second account. One account can have multiple ship from addresses, in fact, can have one, two, or more. And a lot of sellers have them set up that way with multiple addresses just to meet the situation you're in, which is they have inventory in different locations. Oh, by the way, I know you said I'm not a drop shipper, but there's nothing wrong with drop shipping. It's just that particular just-in-time buying from another marketplace and then having it shipped to a buyer. That's what's not allowed. But drop shipping is perfectly okay. So here's how you can set up your multiple ship from addresses. Go to My eBay Accounts. So if you click on My eBay and then click on the Accounts tab, it'll take you to a page called accountsettings.ebay.com. And you'll find there's a section there for addresses. Click the Ship From Address link and then click Add Address. And you can add one, two, three more if you want. When you list an item, you can select the relevant address by zip code from the item location section, and that'll be important for making the correct determination for calculated shipping if that's what you're using. You just put in the zip code for that address. However, here's the important part. When you print a label through eBay, you can edit the ship from and return to address by clicking Edit on that page, and then selecting the related address, depending on where the item is located. This should be pretty simple. You just have to give these instructions to the person at your other location if they're the ones that are printing out the label, so they can select the right address when they ship the item out, so that the ship from and return to address is correct in case it has to be returned. And don't worry, Jason, I put you on the mug list. In fact, I think your mug went out yesterday.
Our next email was sent by Suzanne, who writes, please tell me if I'm missing something, but I haven't figured out how to locate one of my listings easily. I've tried through Seller Hub, Listing, Active Listing. Now what? I scroll until I find the listing I'm looking for? If this feature is unavailable, can we get it on the eBay team's to-do list? Thanks for all your help. Suzanne. P.S. One of the best gifts my husband ever gave me was a thermal printer.
Yes.
I would never have said anything about one until Griff put that earworm of buy a thermal printer into my head. So a big thank you, Griff. It worked.
It worked. I want to thank the Academy for everything. Well, hello, Suzanne. In Seller Hub Active View, there is actually a search section on the top of the page, and a lot of people miss it. I tend to think it may be something, it's a design issue. Maybe we should revisit this and redesign it. If you remember a word or words in your title, you can use that search section on the top to search your entire inventory by title. I use that all the time. I only have 100 listings up at a time, so it's really easy to scroll, but I'm lazy. You just have to use that little search bar on the top. I know it's on the active listings page. I think you can also search your orders the same way. And I'm glad to hear we've actually converted another seller into being a thermal printer enthusiast. Our next question was posted on our podcast Facebook group. It's from Seller Cherry, and she asked, "Hi, I have a question that's nagging me. I expect there may be someone else who needs a definitive answer. If I make an offer or accept an offer and send a coupon as well, can the buyer take the lower price of the offer and then also take the coupon amount off at checkout? My understanding is that if this was an offer situation, either way, they could not use the coupon as an additional money off. P.S. I'm getting my coupons used as well as selling with regular promotions a tad above the suggested present."
It's a great question, and I want to thank our teammate Tyler for locating the right answer.
Yes.
Cherry, if an item has a best offer or seller-initiated offer, the offer takes priority and a coupon cannot be applied.
Yeah, and that's good news because sellers want to know, you have to control your profit margin. You don't want to give away an extra discount if that wasn't your intention. And Cherry, it's also worth noting that coded coupons are not stackable with other promotions, such as order discount or shipping discount or volume pricing. And if several promotions are running concurrently on a listing, buyers get the best discount. So whatever it is, that's the one they get. And one more little thing to note, the coupons do stack with markdown sales. So keep that in mind when you're creating a markdown sale, that there's a chance that a buyer can get the discounted markdown price plus the coupon discount. But for seller initiated or just best offers, no, you can't use them.
All right. Great question, Cherry.
Thank you, Cherry.
Does anyone else out there have a vexing question or a pithy comment? Why not share it with your fellow sellers by calling us at 888-723-4630.
Yeah, and at this point, I feel like it's almost like an NPR fundraiser, but I really want to draw attention to the fact that nobody is calling 888-723-4630. And there's no tote bags, there's no mugs, unless you call that number. That's not true. I love that number. You can get your voice on the show. So 888-723-4630. And like I say every week, you can call that at your convenience, any time of the day, any day of the week, no matter where you are. Just leave a question or comment. And if it's appropriate, we're probably going to put it on the air. Just do it.
And of course, if you're not a call on the phone kind of person,
which our entire audience seems to be,
you also can email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
Now, don't forget your daily podcast to-do list.
Check the announcement board for up-to-date seller news.
Keep an eye on the Seller Center page for carrier holiday cutoff dates.
Check the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and to see the links that we referenced during the episode.
On our next episode, we're going to meet an eBay employee who also is a full-time eBay seller. I don't know how he does it.
And we'd like to again thank our guest this week, eBay seller Jeffrey Radspinner of Venture Surplus.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed in part by Libsyn and Podcast 411.